And we've spent time thinking about the light of God, and that as we've been awaiting this child that was to come into the world, we really were waiting for the very embodiment of love and joy, peace and hope. And so we thought about that throughout Advent, and we used the image of a lighthouse as kind of the theme of understanding the way God puts the light out into the world. And how we are in some ways mini lighthouses along the shoreline that are, you know, putting the light that God, through His Holy Spirit, has imparted to us out into the world. And so that got me thinking about light's reflective properties. Every once in a while, my biology, you know, my history as a biology major kind of rears its ugly head. And so I wanted to research a little bit of light. And yes, I know my parents are also wondering how I ended up a pastor after being a biology major, but, you know, God always has these plans, and I'm very grateful that it took me in some different directions. But when we think about light, and as I was studying light and reflecting light, because we are called to be a reflection of light out into the world, there's some interesting properties of light that really stood out to me as I was kind of studying light. Now, light reflected, as in like with a mirror, light reflected is not exactly the same as direct sunlight. There are differences in properties, and yet light reflected is still light. Light reflected is not a mere imitation of light. Now, if you were to take a $1 bill and hold it up to a mirror, now do you suddenly have $2 in your pocket? I wish it worked that way. That'd be really nice if we had a magic mirror that worked that way, but it's not. When we're holding something up to the reflection of a mirror, that is just an imitation. It's a reflection of that item, but it doesn't have the same properties of that item itself. But not so with light. When light hits a mirror, the mirror does not absorb the entirety of the light, but actually re-emits a portion of that light out into, you know, back out into space. And it actually has properties of light that you would expect from light, such as helping grass to grow. Anybody here a gardener? Any gardeners? I don't know if you knew this, but you can actually use mirrors to grow your garden. A few well-placed mirrors can bring light to a darkened corner of a garden. And plants grow just as well under reflected light as they do under direct sunlight. By increasing the sunlight in your garden in this manner, you can expand your planting possibilities. So it's more than just an imitation. Light reflected is light. And so that got me really thinking as we've been thinking about the God of light who brings light into our life and how we are called to be, a light on a hill, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know, we are called to be a light out into the world as the children of God filled with the Holy Spirit in a manner that means that we are more than just a cheap imitation of God, but we actually have been given God's light, in, even though it's a different property. You know, we are not God, and our light is not, just as reflected light is different from direct sunlight, we are not exactly, obviously, the same essence, but God, that Holy Spirit imparting light to us is more than just an imitation. And I thought that was something that as we, you know, think about Christmas Eve and what it means to be welcoming light into this world as Jesus has come to bring light and a new day and a new kingdom and a deeper intimacy within our relationship with God, where we are no longer loved from the outside in, but from the inside out, as Jesus came to this earth to walk as one of us and understand us and walk in the shoes that we walk in and understand our grief from a point of view that was unique in the fact that he could walk here as one of us. Many of you know, and maybe you even suffer from lack of sun in the wintertime. You know, there are people that suffer from, I think it's called seasonal affective disorder, where without enough light and contact with light, it can affect your physical, your mental, and your spiritual health. I actually had a friend that had a light box, and maybe some of you have such a item, and she had a light box in her office that helped her kind of combat the missing of the light that we, you know, naturally expect to have out in when we're in the world. And so as I was looking up a lot of different things and I was reading, I found this really interesting story about a town in Norway. Now, Sam Eyde was an industrialist in the 1800s who actually harnessed the power of a 100-meter Rykjanfossen waterfall to generate hydroelectricity in what was, at the time, the world's biggest power plant. The town of Rykjan was founded to house the workers that worked at that plant. But there was one thing that Sam Eyde couldn't do. He couldn't change the elevation of the sun. Rykjan was, there is a sheer 1,800 meter, which is about 1.12 mile high, peak known as Gaustatoppen, which borders the narrow valley of Vestfjord Valley, where Rykjan and their 3,400 inhabitants reside. And they live in shadow 6 months out of the year. Now, it's not dark there from mid-September to mid-March, but it's also not bright. They do not have direct sunlight coming into their town because of the height of the mountains on both sides of their town. And so in 2001, this gentleman named Martin Andersen, that's a good Norwegian name, Martin Andersen, who was a 40-year-old artist, moved to town and began trying to imagine how he could get light into their town. And it started a 12-year process. They called it the Solspiel, the Sun Mirror Project, and it took about 12 years to happen. So, Billy, if you could put the first slide up here. What you're looking at here in this slide are three massive mirrors that were placed at the top of the peak to shine light down into the square of the town. And there, of course, were naysayers who thought money should be spent elsewhere, but after a lot of grants from different places and a lot of fundraising, they were able to install these three mirrors at the top of the peak. And go ahead to the next slide. This is the folks gathered in the square, and you can see that line of shadow? See that line? I thought that was really dramatic. You could see everything below that, including their town, is in shadow half of the year, and that's where they would have to get to. And in fact, I guess the plant had built a cable car that people could go up to the top of the mountain, but Martin Andersen wanted to figure out how to get the sunlight down to the town. And you can see around their feet, you can see the sunlight on the pavement. And they have benches there in the square. People can come and gather with their neighbors. They can come and enjoy a bit of light in the middle of their shadow season. And you know, it got me to thinking about how we often forget that there's so much of the world that's living in shadow. It's not that they're living in darkness. It's not that they don't have any light in their life, but there's the shadow that casts a pall over the lives of so many people. All we have to do is read our newspaper or turn on the news to hear the trouble that people are experiencing in their life. And the shadow that you might say that kind of follows a lot of people in the world and a great number of people who suffer. And we as Christians are, you know, given this opportunity to be light into those shadowed places. You know, as this mirror is, you know, kind of an image of, you know, the light coming into those shadowy places, we have that same opportunity because God has placed within us his very light. As we've been talking about lighthouses, one of the things my husband Tony shared with me that I didn't know about lighthouses is that each lighthouse has a unique flashing light signal that indicates which lighthouse you are before. So there's this flashing light. I kind of think of like Morse code, only using light instead of sound. And each and every lighthouse has its own code. So mariners and those that use lighthouses, they would have a book that would list the flashing light sequence that pertained to each lighthouse. And so each one was individual. And it made me think, you know, of who we are as we are lighthouses along the shore that the Lord has, through His Holy Spirit, has given us this great task of sharing the light that God has placed within our ourselves as the body of Christ, that we then are offering to the world. And each one of you has a unique flashing light sequence. No one here is exactly like another, and we need each other. We need each other. All of us have different gifts. All of us have different dimensions of passion and the things that light our hearts on fire. All of us have different gifts, different skill sets. Thankfully, none of us are all going through exactly the same chapter of life at the same time, so we can speak into each other's lives, whatever chapter we're in the midst of. And we also aren't all experiencing mountaintop experiences or experiencing low and difficult periods of life. You know, when we are all together as the body of Christ, we are all sharing all of that together, but the variety that is created is the beauty of the light being up on that hill shining out into the world. You know, I've said before a few weeks ago that the lighthouse, in putting its light out there, doesn't pick and choose which ship it shares its light with. Whatever light is in its path receives the guidance and the direction and the warning that the lighthouse light can be, and even just getting your bearings. You know, lighthouses are great for helping mariners to know where exactly they are in space with everything else. So, you know, I wanted us to think as we're heading into 2020 about, you know, our relationship with the light of the world that we are celebrating coming into the world as we celebrate this Christmas Eve service. As Jesus has brought His light into the world and His Holy Spirit then has shared that light with us, what do you hope for in 2020 when it comes to your relationship to that light? You know, what do you hope for this year in your relationship with God, your walk with God? Because as we grow in our nearness to that light, as we grow in step with the light of God, and we welcome more and more of that into our life, then we are able to more and more live into the mission that God has specifically for us. And we are able then to be that daughter, for me anyway, as a woman, the daughter, the mother I want to be, the wife I want to be, the friend I want to be, the pastor I hope to be. All of that is read through my relationship with God. And the more in step with the Holy Spirit I am, the more then I feel I'm able to lean into all of those things and be more, be brighter, I guess, you know, using the light imagery, be brighter in all of those areas. And so as you go into 2020, you know there's going to be challenges. You know there's going to be ups and downs. You know that there's going to be surprises. We know that we don't have a crystal ball, and frankly, I wouldn't want a crystal ball telling me what's ahead in great detail. We don't know what 2020 is going to hold, but we do trust that the Holy Spirit is going to be with us and guide us through all of those spaces and those things that are before us. And so, you know, I encourage you to wrestle with that and think about how you are maybe being called to be a mirror on a mirror on a hillside for someone else who's currently living in shadow. Amen.